You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Check out this eye candy. This is from Herkimer College. It's Jordan Lewis. Watch this. Lewis? Watch the diving catch. Leaping over the fence to grab it. What do you guys think about that?
Wow, look at that.
Big time right there.
Big time.
Hops.
Great focus, huh?
We didn't see him come back over, though.
That's what I call Tim Legler.
Come on,
I think he's okay.
Is he okay? 50 ball. That's a 50 ball.
Right? Right? We got to figure out if he's actually okay. I think he probably is. Hopefully. Good job, Jordan. All right, so welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. We say good morning to you, and what a morning it is. We got a lot of basketball to talk about, so Cindy, let's get it rolling and get up with the Boston Three Party. The Celtics bounce back in a smart way, and now are they in the driver's seat to get to the finals? Plus, what the heck happened to Luka in game one, and what has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors tonight? And man, we've got a fiery feud for you that's got everybody talking. Jimbo responds to Nick Saban with insults and accusations. Is he right about Bama's legendary coach? That and a lot more on Get Up. But since we got our team going, let's get right to the game of the night. Celtics, Heat, Game 2, Eastern Conference Finals. Heat up 1-0. They're hosting the Celtics, and Marcus Smart and Al Horford are back. And boy, would they make a difference. Early first quarter, Heat up 2. Jimmy Butler saying, Marcus Smart, here you go. Contested jumper, good. Heat up 4. Later, Heat up 7, Max Strus knocking down the 3. Heat up 10 at that point, but the Celtics would respond in a big way. Spo saying, yeah, I like that. Spo, you don't like this. Jaylen Brown for 3. 2 minutes to play in the first. Celtics up 2. Marcus Smart gets it for 3. Celtics up 5. They shot 9 of 11 from 3 in the first, their best three-point percentage in any quarter of the last 15 seasons. And then Jason Tatum going to work in the second. Celtics up 14. Celtics up 21. 5 minutes left in the second. Tatum spinning the jumper and the foul. And they had one. This is amazing. Coach, he was on fire.
His footwork is so good. He's shot ready. He's always down and loaded. Jumps up, knocks down that jumper. He's so difficult to defend because of the versatility he has offensively.
Unbelievable. 17 in the second quarter. Celtics up 25 at the half. Early third quarter. Here is the Marcus Smart effect. Shoots over the basket, gets it, and the foul. Count it, baby. Wow. Under 3 minutes to play. Strus on skates. That's Smart making him look silly. The money jumper right there. Celtics win it 127-102. They even up the series 1-1. Smart, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. And man, he was ready for this game. Take a listen.
I was pumped. You know, I felt bad that I couldn't be out there with my teammate and go to battle with him. You know, we're playing against a really good Miami Heat team. And, you know, it's a blessing to be on the same court with him and going to war. And it's just tough not to be out there, you know. But I got to get my rest, got to get my health back, got to watch and see some things and come out and execute this game.
I don't like to move on from this because it has to hurt. They tried to embarrass us. They did embarrass us. So I think we got to realize that the game can get out of hand whenever you're playing against a really good team like them.
Absolutely, and it did. The return of Smart, now Horford, was a game changer defensively. These two guys combined to held the Heat to 5-for-20 from the field as the primary defender with 6 turnovers. And those two guys forced more turnovers in game 2 than all other Celtics primary defenders. What a performance, especially you guys, I think, by Marcus Smart. The Celtics did a 180 from game 1, and they have Marcus Smart to thank for that. What was his impact in this game?
His leadership, his toughness, 12 assists resulting in 36 points, his ability to make shots, his ability to own 50-50 balls. He had an impact on every single play offensively and defensively. He just basically makes the game easier for everyone else, but more importantly, he sets the standard of how hard you are going to play.
Absolutely. No, 100% correct. I mean, Coach said it, you know, 12 assists. You know, you look at a defense player of the year guy, you're thinking, well, he's only a defensive guy. But Marcus Smart has kind of transcended his game now. You can't leave him by himself no more. He's a knockdown three-point shooter. He's making all the right plays as far as, you know, getting guys in position, you know, making the right passes, getting 12 assists. All that stuff helps the morale of the team.
Yeah, and he built him up in legs. What we saw from the Celtics on this night was totally different than what we saw from them in the third quarter in game one.
Yeah, and to their point, just to follow up on that, I mean, Marcus Smart, he's a guy that I think we give so much credit for all the time for the intangible stuff, you know, the ability to guard, put your body on the line, leave skin on the floor, all those things. The guy's also a hell of an offensive player. Mm-hmm. And he, when he is making shots and he's contributing to the extent he did in game two, Boston Celtics are on a different level because now you have this X factor that on a given night can give you 20 points in addition to all of those other things. So I just felt like their confidence level, having him back on the floor, he's a great communicator. The ball gets where it's supposed to when he's on the floor because he's so sure-handed. And then on top of it, he's making shots in the second half to get that great separation. Celtics are a very deep, complete, versatile team, and all of that was on display in game two.
Absolutely right, Legs. And not only Marcus Smart, but Jaylen Brown, and especially Jason Tatum. 27 points on 13 shots, had 5 assists. Coach, what impressed you most about his performance?
Yeah, I think Legs said early, and Amari said early, in terms of efficiency. But to me, Jason Tatum, he didn't shoot his first shot until the 6-minute mark of the first quarter. Mm. He got others involved. In other words, he let the game come to him. When he made a play, he made a play. Watch him. He comes off that little down screen there. He's overplayed. What does he do? He gives himself up. Good back cut. Looks the ball in his hand. Draws an extra defender. Reads the defense. Makes the right play. Al Horford knocks down that three. Right, playing without the basketball, making a good decision. Here he comes up the ball screen. You come off the ball screen, you want to drag two. He drags two defenders. Great job of Marcus Smart taking up the slack, getting to the slot. He comes behind the basketball, knocks down that three. Jason Tatum, his ability to read the defense and take what the defense gives you. Sometimes it means make a play for someone else. Sometimes it means make a play for yourself. I mean, his game is so complete and so versatile. He can be a play starter, a playmaker. He can be a shot maker. You can play him in the mid post. He is a matchup nightmare.
Wow. Now, we were talking during the break, and you mentioned something that made you smile about his game, not only the way that he prepares, but something he does that's kind of reminiscent of you when you played.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, right? He's more of a fundamental all-around player than I was, for sure, because he's a three-point shooter. He has the handles and all these things. But I think what I've noticed for him is that you can see the small things that he does on a basketball court that create separation. You know, he goes to a back down, right? And then he faces back up and have separation. He makes the right pass, you know, every single time. And I think, you know, what Coach is saying as far as complete player, he may be the most complete player right now in the NBA because not only can he defend, his size, his strength, his ability to take you off the dribble, to make the open shot. He's an all-around talent, man. It's fun to watch him play.
So the little things he does even are the things that really separates him and makes him one of the greats for you.
Absolutely. I mean, he was touched by the hands of Kobe Bryant when he trained with Kobe. And so now you see all of that work he puts in the offseason showing right now in the playoffs.
You really do. So you look at this Celtics team, Legs. They stole the home court with a split in Miami. Are they now in the driver's seat in this series?
Well, there's no question about that. You know, all you want to do is get a split. If you're the better team and now you get an opportunity, you're 1-1 going home, you know you've got a chance now to hold down home court to take command of the series. And I think that's going to be their mindset. Now, if you're Eric Spoelstra, you're reminding your team, hey, listen, Milwaukee was able to go in there and win road games in Boston. So you got to know this isn't a situation where, you know, this is the 85-86 Celtics where they were basically unbeatable in that building. That's what I'm telling my team of Eric Spoelstra, but there's no question. Boston right now feels like they have controlled the first two games. They got dominated in one quarter. But for the most part, they have done what they wanted to do on both ends of the floor, accomplished their game plan. Now they're whole. They got a couple of starters back. And now they feel like they're dictating terms to the Miami Heat. And that's what this series is going to be about. Not reacting to teams. You dictate to teams what you're going to allow them to do. I thought Boston did a great job of that last night.
And if P.J. Tucker's not back, I'll tell you what, the Heat are have a huge problem. Because without P.J. Tucker, now all of a sudden Jimmy Butler, he can't guard all three of those perimeter guys. I mean, he can't guard Tatum. He can't guard Smart. He can't guard Brown. Ooh. The matchups become a problem. The great thing about P.J. Tucker, he plays to his strengths. He shows people what he can do, what he can't, not what he can't do. And he is an elite physical defender that you can put on Tatum. You take him out of the equation, and I'll tell you one thing. It is a rough road for the Heat.
Absolutely. Who do you have winning this series?
I have Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I got Boston in the series only because I feel like they are well-rounded. I feel like they play on both ends of the basketball court, and I think the chemistry is at a high level. For their team.
They certainly
State Park
are rolling
is going
right
to be
now.
Insufferable.
Anything new there? Okay. All right, thanks, guys. Let's turn to another big game last night. Hockey, chase for the cup. Lightning, Panthers, game two, second round. The Battle of Florida is on. Lightning taking game one, and under 8 minutes to play, they're on the power play. Stamkos shoots. Corey Perry redirects for the goal. Excellent hand-eye coordination for Perry for the deflection, Lightning up 1-0. And then watch this, second period, just under 2 minutes to play. Ehtu Huhtarinen getting at the top of the circle, put it in, the goal. Puck just trickles right in, beautiful shot there. Panthers tie it up at 1. And then third period, final seconds of regulation, doesn't get any more dramatic than this. Game on the line, and take a listen to Dave Mishkin of the Lightning Radio Network.
Five to go. Kucherov, put it in front! Score! Score! Ross Colton with 0.9 seconds left! Incredible! Kucherov magic!
Kucherov magic, Ross Colton goal does it. Lightning win 2-1, and they take a commanding 2-0 series lead. Well, coming up, a fiery feud. Jimbo rips Nick, and the legendary coach has responded. And so is the SEC. Who's right? Who's wrong? Plus, Paul Feinbaum. Plus, what the heck happened to Luka in game one? And what has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors tonight? We'll have more on that and what he can do to win game two. And take a look at this, a live look at PGA Championship in Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa. Getting ready to tee off. John Rahm with them. What a great pairing that is. That's going to look great. And the PGA Championship underway as we speak. It's right now on ESPN+. We'll have it all day right here on ESPN and updates on GetUp.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Check out this eye candy. It was so good we had to show it again. Marcus Smart returns and puts Max Strus on skates for the jump. Have you ever done something like that?
I mean, that move is incredible, man. You gotta tie those shoes up a little tighter, man.
So I feel like you have done that.
I have before, yeah, I have.
Now, when you do it, do you laugh out loud or do you kind of keep it to yourself?
Well, you gotta make the shot first. Once you make the shot, then you can laugh and enjoy it.
Because if I ever did that, I would have to laugh loudly. And you could tell just by Smart being like, I gotcha.
He's focused, man. He's determined.
He's in a zone. All right, man. Now, I want to talk about this as we move on. Incredible. This dispute going on between these two. At an event in Birmingham on Wednesday, Nick Saban made headlines when he called out former assistant Jimbo Fisher by saying Texas A&M bought every player on their team when discussing name, image, and likeness. So Jimbo responded yesterday.
I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. It's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to...
He's the greatest ever, huh?
Wow. I mean, wow. I've never heard anything like that. Paul, what's your reaction?
You've never heard anything like that, Ryan, because there's never been anything like this. I mean, we are talking about two giants in their field and the greatest coach of all time. We don't lose sight of that fact as we're chuckling here about two coaches squabbling. Jimbo Fisher just deconstructed Nick Saban, a legend, a king. And he didn't say, I don't like him because of something. He basically said he's a fraud. He insinuated there are serious character flaws. None of this, by the way, has ever been discussed publicly. You may have heard some of this privately. And it's beyond stunning. And I know we're searching for adjectives here, but the college football world stopped yesterday. Nobody could get any work done because everyone was watching this and rewatching it and trying to figure out what's behind it.
Wow. Heather, what was your reaction?
I am entering my 15th season covering college football at ESPN, and that was hands down the most entertaining, jaw-dropping 9.5 minutes of a press conference I have ever seen in my life. And I couldn't get any work done either. And the only thing that I could even compare it to right off the bat yesterday was Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. That had nothing on what happened yesterday because of who these guys were. That was a character attack on the nation's best coach.
Oh, my goodness. So, Heather, I know you've been talking to everybody you know in college football, talking to ADs and others in the SEC. What's been the response, and what was the SEC's response to all of this?
Well, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey essentially issued a public hand slap, okay? It was a public reprimand. So they issued a statement saying, look, we don't do that. You guys broke the bylaws. And they moved on. And I spoke to Jimbo's boss yesterday, Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork. He said, the reason we are so defensive about this is because we thought Nick Saban was saying, not only did you break NCAA rules, but you broke state laws in Texas. He said, that's why we were so defensive about it. And I spoke with SEC athletic directors who were embarrassed and said, this public forum is not the place for two of our highest profile coaches to be throwing jabs at each other. And then finally, guys, one Power Five athletic director outside of the SEC had a very serious tone when he said, look, this is great theater, but this is one example of concerns people have behind the scenes about this that aren't saying it out loud.
Okay, that's telling. Now, Paul, this public reprimand makes hand slapping look violent. What did you make of it?
Well, you have to do it. But what's most interesting about the commissioner is that these coaches are going to be in the same room a week from next Tuesday, Ryan. They're going to gather in Destin, Florida for the annual SEC meetings, which is a celebration of the greatest conference of all time. You'll hear that over and over again. But instead, the commissioner is going to sit in a room with 14 football coaches, and two of those guys right now are at each other. And I asked a friend of Jimbo Fisher yesterday, I said, How do you think that's going to go? He said, it's a good thing what's happening in 2 weeks wasn't happening yesterday because Jimbo Fisher would have gotten physical with him. That's how tense, that's how upset he was. Now, certainly we hope they'll calm down. Otherwise, Nick Khan and Vince McMahon at WWE have a WrestleMania already on the beach in Destin.
One that I would love to see. Now, if you thought Jimbo's comments were interesting, watch what Nick Saban had to say that kind of ramped up the ante. Take a look.
I really didn't mean to single anybody out. I apologize for that. But, you know, it's the whole system. And is this a sustainable system? And is it really, you know, good for college football? I think name, image, and likeness is good for college football. You know, I think the focus now is getting a little bit more on how much money I can make while I'm playing and where can I make it. And I'm not sure that's really good systematically for any of us.
Okay. So Paul, what did you think of that?
Well, I think what Nick Saban is really saying here is that the system's broken. You know, you can argue about the apology. I've heard better ones. But he is confirming what we already know, that college football is an absolute disaster right now. The wall has come down. It's every man for themselves. And Saban admitted, really, the other night, that he missed a window. Jimbo Fisher beat him in that window last year in recruiting. And what he was really doing is he was soliciting for more money so he can keep up now with the guy at number one in recruiting, and that's Jimbo Fisher. That's what's so crazy about the college. Until a couple of years ago, college leaders used to talk about student athletes and amateurism. That's the biggest crock in the world right now, and everyone inside the bubble knows it. Now they're just trying to figure out how high can you go.
Yeah, and now maybe they're just being a little more candid about it. Heather, what did you think?
Well, multiple people that I talked to questioned why he said what he initially said, because he doesn't just throw things out there. This is Nick Saban, a very smart man. So some people questioned, does he feel threatened? Ross Bjork, the A&M AD, said that. Why did he do that? Is it because he's threatened by Texas A&M, which, cough, cough, won last year? Is it because, you know, he's threatened by the landscape as a whole, or name, image, and likeness? So there's that question out there. But at the same time, there were people who just said, look, both of these guys were wrong in what they did.
Yeah, and you know what? I want everybody to circle this date on your calendar. October 8th, the Aggies play Bama in Tuscaloosa. Everybody's going to be watching that one. Now, guys, this wasn't the end of it, because Nick Saban also called out Deion Sanders in Jackson State for paying a player $1 million. Now, that player has disputed that. That was a news report. But take a look at how Deion Sanders responded. Coach Saban wasn't talking to me. Coach Saban wasn't talking to Jimbo Fisher. He was talking to his boosters. He was talking to his alumni. He was talking to his givers. He was trying to get money. That was what he was doing. He was just using us to get where he was trying to get to. So, Heather, I find this very interesting, because Sanders said, I'm gonna come back and have a response. And his response was measured. What did you make of what he had to say?
Well, it felt more measured than the tweets that were the initial response, which was, I'm not even making $1 million. He's not making $1 million. And I think it's just, this is the frustration that has boiled over from everyone, guys. That's what this is all about. There are no rules. That's why Greg Sankey and George Kliavkov were in D.C. talking to senators to try to get some legislation on this. Because when you don't have that, this is the chaos you get.
Okay, Paul, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I would argue back that Nick Saban did this intentionally. He is very smart. We know that. But this was late in an event that just happened during a Saban rant. And he made unsubstantiated charges, Ryan, which I think was a major mistake. Nick Saban can call up any reporter in the country and get his message out. I think he blew it. And I think he ended up with blood all over his face.
Absolutely. And you know what, Heather, you mentioned it. There are no rules. We know that coaches are control freaks. And to be in a situation where they can't control something like this, you're seeing all the frustrations come out. All right. Paul Feinbaum, Heather Dinich, great job on this. Thank you so much. Coming up, the Heat is now on Miami after the game 2 stinker at home. What changed? And is Boston now in the driver's seat to win the series? But first, a little Hembo time, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for you, Coach. Who has the most 25-point games in the playoffs before turning 25 years old?
I might have some blood on my hands also.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I think I know. Uh-oh. Hembo's saying bring it. Let's see if Coach can bring it after the break.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Seth. And by the way, the whole studio has been debating this. Who has the most 25-point games?
He's loving every second of this because he's torturing me. Is it Kobe? Is it LeBron? Is it Tracy McGrady? Where's Graziano when I need him? I am going to go with LeBron James, and he's going to laugh.
Okay. Wrong. Because the correct answer is... Can we put it up, please? Kobe, he tricked us, everybody. When we came in this morning, Hembo was like, you're not going to get it, coach. It's not going to happen.
It was too
easy. And he tricked us. And even I heard it, and I said, oh, man, it can't be
Kobe. You convinced me. It's my fault. I bought it.
Never listen to me. When it comes to Hembo, never listen to me. Wow, that was a rope-a-dope if
I ever saw it. I had the right answer first.
Oh, man, you did? So did I.
Nothing. I'm bloodied.
Hembo tricked us again. And then there was the game of the night. Let's get right to the game, shall we? Game 2 Eastern Conference Finals. Heat up 1-0. Celtics get Smart and Horford back. And they had some smart play. Look at this one. Smart for 3. Celtics up 5 at that point. Early second quarter. Jaylen Brown dishing to Tatum for 3. Celtics up by 14, under 5 minutes to go in the second. Celtics up big, 21. And then Tatum spinning, hitting the jumper. Oh, money. Tatum not done. Moments later, Smart finding Tatum, who finds the wide open 3. Tatum had 17 in the second quarter. Celtics up 25 at the half. Early third quarter, Celtics up 24. And Marcus Smart with the impossible shot. Watch this. Over the basket, got it, and the foul. Doesn't get any better than that. Under 3 minutes to go in the third. Celtics up 17. That's right. We're skating. Put them on skates. Max Strus, ankles broken in the training room, getting healed up. And Jimmy Butler after the game, not happy.
It can't get too much worse, you know. They whipped our tail on our home floor. I guess if they do it on their home floor, it's supposed to happen. But I don't see us doing that again. I mean, the first half has been brutal for us in both of these games. We gotta come out and play harder from the jump and be ready because they'd be throwing some haymakers in the first half.
Wow. Big 127-102 win for the Celtics. And by the way, Max Strus is just fine. His ankles aren't actually really broken. Boston dominated the Heat, earning their 5th road win by 25 or more points in the postseason in franchise history. And it was their largest road win in the conference finals or later. But the Seas did go on to lose the series after 2 of those previous 4 wins. That's the history. This Celtics team, though, looks amazing. So, guys, Seth, let me ask a binary question here. Was this outcome more about good Celtics or bad Heat?
I think it was good Celtics. I mean, look, it's somewhere in between, but it is good Celtics. Celtics are a tough matchup right now. When the Celtics are healthy, and you've got Marcus Smart, an elite defender that could facilitate, takes pressure off of Tatum. When you have Al Horford who could stretch the defense, and then you have a 7-man rotation where the pieces fit, along with Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are matchup nightmares for the Heat. To me, it's more about the Celtics, and now that P.J. Tucker might be out, it's really about the Celtics.
That's key. And then, Legs, what did you make of how the Heat played in this game? I mean, they looked so good in that second half in Game 1. This was a different story.
Totally different story, and I think what it comes down to is that Miami could not guard them in the first half. And Boston came out laser-focused, very professional approach to how they came into this game. I love the fact that during that first game in the third quarter, I loved that Ime Udoka called timeout, got in everybody's face as they were coming off the floor, because that told me he was going to also do that in the film session after the game because of how bad that was, that third quarter was in Game 1. And they respond to him. So he's able to get into them a little bit and challenge them. And you saw the response. So this was much more about Boston. Clearly, Miami has a couple guys that haven't played their best yet in Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, and they're going to need that. But this is more about Boston's versatility, their depth, their shot making, their defensive versatility. This was about the Celtics making a statement that they were not satisfied with losing Game 1 when they felt they outplayed them for most of that game.
Yeah, great point. And you mentioned Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero and those guys. And Amari, we were talking about this on the break. What surprised you most about the Heat here, and especially Bam Adebayo?
Well, that's my thing. I think Bam Adebayo is, you know, he's a guy that can be a difference maker, right? I mean, he was in argument of conversations about being one of the best defensive players in the league for a while, for a few years. Mm-hmm. He's a potential all-star kind of guy.
Said he should have won Defensive Player of the Year.
Right, exactly. And mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. So he has the most potential in this space in order to affect the game in a positive way. But we need him to be more assertive, right? We need to give him the ball more. We need him to be more efficient in the paint. I mean, six shots, 6 points. You know, he does all the intangibles as well. He rebounds the ball. He makes sure the ball moves on the perimeter from going side to side.
Right.
So he's our guy. He's my guy. I think that if he steps up big time in game two, he would get the Heat a better chance.
So you didn't see enough urgency from him?
I didn't see it. You know, and that's something I wanted to see more. It's a concern for me because in the playoff game like this, in this magnitude at home, you would want your star player to be more dominant in that game.
Do they need to play through him more, though? I mean, like, I understand he can rebound the ball. He can bust it out in transition. He's got to get to the offensive glass. Bigs can get the ball because they can just chase it on the glass and get second chances.
Yep.
Do they need to find a way, especially now, maybe with Tucker out, to play through him more?
Absolutely. You got to find a way to make him assertive in the post. And I think it's if he finds a way to establish his positioning and they can get the ball to him easily, then now he can be assertive in the offense.
Says the man who was assertive in the post his entire career. So, Legs, we talk about Bam Adebayo, but then there's Jimmy Butler, and he had 29 points. I can't believe I'm asking you this question, but did he do enough in this game as the team's number one?
Yeah, listen, he doesn't have an answer for everything. At some point, you're going to need some guys to come along. You know, when you host a party, you can't be the only guy there. You got to have some other people show up. And I think right now, all right, Tyler here with Bam Adebayo, I think Amari's point is fantastic about Bam. I think for me, and you were hearing some chatter, and it's not necessarily coming from the Heat, but you're hearing chatter like, oh, well, Bam's not getting enough touches. I was told early on when I started playing basketball, there is no excuse for a great player in terms of not getting the ball. The ball finds you if you're doing something with it. He needs to be more assertive and send a message to his team that he is here tonight offensively. Now, one of the things that's hurting him, there's a lot of switching that goes on with Boston because they've got so much versatility and size that he's not getting those situations where there's traps on the ball handler, and then he slips middle, catches it, and makes plays out of that. That's when he's at his best. Boston is taking that away with all the switches. So now Eric Spoelstra has to figure out a way to target him with specific set designs early in the game to get him some shots so that he feels a part of what's going on offensively, because he's really played like a role player on that end, and he's far better than that.
He's got to create the switch he wants. Basically, you look for Spo in game three to create the matchup he wants off of those screens.
Yeah, he is a star.
The one he wants to attack. What player is his best advantage where they can get him, where they can get him the ball where he wants
him? He's a star right there along with Butler. They need him to step up is what you guys are saying, and they'll need him to step up big time to stay in this one. By the way, we're going to have game three of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and the Celtics. The series moves to Boston, tied up at one apiece tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on ABC and the app. The countdown crew is going to get things started at 8 Eastern. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, let's keep it in basketball. We're going to Philly, my hometown. Joel Embiid gets his MVP after all. The city of Philadelphia, their city council just passed a resolution to make Embiid the most valuable Philadelphian. You know, I feel like this is the production crew taking a shot at me, which is fine.
I thought that was you, by the way.
Yeah, what?
You're doing much better than you were about a week ago.
No, it's like, nice victory. What do you guys think is the most valuable Philadelphian? Is that any solace for Joel?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice award to receive from the city of Philadelphia. I mean, you know, you want to take all those awards. It's, you know, Philly's showing their appreciation from Joel Embiid, and I think that's important.
You get a key with that?
Legs.
I hope so.
Yeah, give him something. Legs, you got the final word, man. What do you make of this?
Hey, man, I've been in that area almost 40 years. Where's mine?
Thank you.
You got a cheese steak,
man. You know what? Thank you for making me smile.
And I'll tell you the best spot to get them, too. Don't worry about that. I got them all.
I'll take cheese steaks, pretzels, anything you can give me. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Let's turn to the performance of the night. Hey, this one was a really good one. Check this out. Mariners taking on the Red Sox. Trevor Story at the plate. Boom. Bottom second, Red Sox down 4-0. Deep center field off George Kirby. 2-run homer. And he's just getting started, Trevor Story is, because the very next inning, up with a runner on. Deep left field, over the Green Monster. Two-run homer. Second home run of the game. Look at that. Getting a ride. Tying his season total. Game tied at 4. Then in the 8th, bottom of the 8th, Red Sox up 9-5. Story at the plate. Runners on the corners. And yes, number 3. Launches it over the Green Monster again. Third homer of the game. He went 4-4, 5 runs, 3 homers, 7 RBIs. Talk about a game. Red Sox win it 12-6. He's the first player in Red Sox history to record 3 homers and a stolen base in a game. In addition, Story's the first Red Sox second baseman with a 3 home run game since AL MVP Dustin Pedroia did it all the way back in June of 2010. Well, coming up, what the heck happened to Luka in Game 1 and what has to happen for him to bounce back against Steph and the Warriors tonight? We'll be talking about that. And here we are at the PGA Championship. Nice tee off there. Looking good. This is the 10th hole. Justin Thomas burying that hole. He's 4 under on the course at this point in the second round. Getting the PGA tournament, the PGA Championship underway. And we'll be back with more.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
It's like an Oscars party around here for sports. Nine-time All-Star Amari Stoudemire.
Let's
what's
go,
up?
Baby. Let's
loving
go.
Loving that.
Pat Bev is in the studio for the first time.
Thank you.
You get up.
I have really elite analysis here.
What up, though?
We're the Chargers.
Every now and then, man, you got to expand your mind.
You guys give out a lot of slander to a lot of people undeservingly. I came on here to make sure the slander is correct.
D. Wood is up early. Pat Bev letting it rip.
I'm just the weatherman letting you know if it's raining or not, brother.
I'm absolutely shocked that Pat Bev is being candid and honest right now.
Brian, I am gobsmacked by what he said.
I can't go against JJ. He went to Duke. I went to Arkansas.
Oh, man. That's so cute.
I did not say you were wrong.
You saying I'm right?
Bro, hold on now.
I've been getting trouble the last couple days. I don't want no trouble with you.
Get up, man. Yeah. We bring people together.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the hell out of this conversation.
Yesterday, I said Marcus Smart was go play. I know y'all don't like to apologize on air a lot, but I'm going to be the first.
Bev, I don't want you to ever apologize.
A Pat Bev apology. Mark it down in the books.
Yeah, hey, you ain't going to see that often.
I'm waiting for the other shoe.
It's coming. Don't worry, Wendy. Oh, what a week it was, and what a PGA Championship it's been. Round 2, give you a little update of what's going on. First hole for Justin Thomas, putting it in for birdie. Started the day 2 shots behind the leader, Rory McIlroy. And then Thomas, 4 under there, and then watch this. Scotty Scheffler, second shot on par 4, 10th. He hits the shot to the green, putting him in position for a long birdie. So take a look at this. Can he put it in? Long birdie, oh, barely misses the cup. Oh, settles for par. Tough break there. John Rahm with a shot for birdie at 10-2. Great putt. Love that putt. But the cup doesn't love it as much as I do. Misses the hole. Settles for par. And Rory's still on top at this point. Second round coverage of the 104th PGA Championship from Southern Hills. This afternoon, 2 Eastern on ESPN, Joe Buck and Michael Collins are going to provide an alternate telecast on ESPN from 1 to 2 Eastern, and then that's going to continue from 2 to 5 Eastern over on ESPN2. So, let's play a little game of over-under on tonight's game, Warriors-Mavs. Amari, I'll start with you.
Yep.
Steph Curry, 3.5 threes, over-under.
Over. I'm going over. I'm taking the over. I think he's going to be aggressive tonight. He's going to want to win game 2 for sure. And I do think Steph will get over 3.5.
Wow, he only had 21 in the last game, but he's always dangerous from 3. Seth, Klay Thompson, 20.5 points, over or under?
I'm going to say he's going to go under a lot because I think Steph Curry's going to be really aggressive. I think Jordan Poole's going to get his shots. He doesn't get as many touches, as many shots. Obviously, he's great off the basketball. I don't think he gets 20.5. I think he gets about 17.
Okay.
But I think the Warriors win.
All right. How about this one? Legs, Luka Doncic, 31.5 points, over or under?
Yeah, I'm taking the over. I'm betting on this guy's greatness in this game. I think individually he's going to put up a big number tonight, and I think eventually Golden State's going to be forced to have to try to get to those three-point shooters. But I think Luka is going to have a different mindset at the start of this game. He's going to set the tone as a scorer, I think, for the Dallas Mavericks and then let his playmaking come as a result.
I like that. All right. I want to see a big game from Luka. And by the way, the Heat's going to be on Luka for this one because Luka obviously didn't have the game he wanted in game one. Game two, Dallas needs it to be a different story. So you put together some tape on how the Warriors made Luka's life miserable in game one.
He had only 6 field goals, 7 turnovers. How did they do it? Because I thought the Warriors committed a second defender to him. Pressure on the basketball. Point of pickup was high. But see right there, anytime two came together, they were going to track. You see the guys on the weak side? I call that a weak side eye. They're going to help with the roller. And then Draymond Green's right in that gap. He gets a deflection, stay between the ball and the basket, another defender, and then point of pickup again at half court. Great pressure on the basketball. Here comes Steph Curry, good pressure on the ball, forcing him left. Once again, Draymond Green in the gap between the ball and the basket. Here's the deflection and the steal, and they get out from transition. I think that Golden State's ability to commit a second defender, and Legs talked about this earlier. If you're going to do that, then Luka's got to one. He's got to get rid of that thing and find an open shooter. And that guy's got to be shot ready. He's got to be down and ready to shoot the ball. Number two, he's got to be more aggressive. Mm. Luka, right from the beginning, if they're going to pressure you, just go at your guy. But you've got to get in offense sooner. They're turning him multiple times deeper into the clock, and he's not getting paint touches. Brunson had more paint touches than Luka did.
That's amazing to me. But Legs, we say he's got to be more aggressive, but this Warriors team is so deep, so multifaceted, offensively, defensively. Will that win the day for Luka?
Well, yeah, Golden State is fast, and that's the thing that they were able to accomplish in game one, and Phoenix could not at any point in that series. They were able to get extra people in his path. Even if it was just a stunt with a hand and trying to get a hand on the ball or commit full body and still recover to three-point shooters. So Golden State was flying all over the court. They played with the desperation you would expect a team to play with at the start of the series. I think here's the key with Luka for me in game two. We talk all the time about how you can't speed him up, and we say it in a positive way because he's so strong and controlled with the ball. But sometimes you need to speed yourself up. And I thought Luka played too slow. He needs to be more decisive at the point of attack and be more aggressive in setting the tone for his team, letting those role players know, hey, I am here tonight. I'm in a good place. It allows guys to settle in and be a little bit more comfortable and stay in their lane. So look for him, I think, to have, you know, 12 to 15 point first quarter. I think that's going to be his mindset.
So, Mari, do you think that these – so Mavs, they got to win 4 of the next 6 to go to the finals. Can they do it?
It's going to be difficult. I don't think they can do it. It's going to be a difficult task. No, because I think Golden State just just a team that's been there, done that. You know, they're battle-proven. They've won championships before with their core guys. It's going to be a tough task for Luka to get there. But now, Luka will have a dominant game, I'll assume.
Why?
In game two. Because he's going to look at the film and see what he did wrong and see areas where he can improve and affect the game in a positive way. He's going to go through after the shoot around. He's going to watch a little bit more film. He's going to speak to Jay Kidd about what he can do to insert himself a little bit more. And then he'll come out of game two with a more aggressive approach, as Lex was saying.
Okay, I want to get some game picks on this series. Seth, I'll start with you. Who's going to win?
No, I think the Warriors win this game. They protect home court. I just think they have more ways to move the defense. I think even though game 7 from Phoenix, go right to San Francisco, it's tough. Look, the preparation for Golden State is just too tough. Their off-ball action, their ability to share the basketball space to court, their floor gamers, their shot makers, too tough a matchup for them.
Mario, who you got?
I got Warriors.
Okay.
And the reason being, when it comes to the postseason, it's a team that's in the best shape. If your cardiovascular has to be at a high level, and if you are in top shape, then that limits your ability to now be tired mentally, right?
Yeah.
You don't have those mental lapses because you're in great shape. And I think Golden State Warriors is the better team that's in the best shape, and I think they're going to win.
Legs, game two, who wins?
Yeah, I think Golden State, they settled in game one. They did what they had to, but I think they hold home court. I just think they've got too many shot makers, too many weapons. This is a different team to defend than Dallas did in the previous two series. We're talking so much about Golden State defending Luka. I think Golden State wins this series on the other end of the floor. They've got too many guys that can hurt you as big-time scorers. And, you know, there are nights Andrew Wiggins is your fourth best offensive player, and he made the All-Star team this year. So that's how good and deep they are on that end, and I just think it's too much for Dallas to cover. As good as they've been defensively in the playoffs, this is a totally different level of defense with the amount of communication that takes place. I think Golden State wins game two as well.
You're right, but you know what, guys? I got to go the other way and pick the Mavericks.
Oh, with
me. Let me tell you why. And it's not just Luka is the best player left in these playoffs, but it's everything you guys are saying. He's going to look at the tape and come back even stronger. Legs, you're saying he's going to go over 31.5 points because he's going to be more aggressive. What you're saying, Coach, about having to get him more involved, more aggressive in the post, passing to his teammates. And that's where it lies for me. If Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie can have one of those go-off nights, both of those guys, they can win this game. And I have faith in Jason Kidd and this team. We count them out over and over again. We did against Phoenix. Ooh, they can win this game. I'm picking you, Mavericks. Don't let me down.
And when they blitz Steph Curry and they throw out of it, there's three other dudes that are going to make jumpers.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that right now. Big Man Hockey here on ESPN in the app. First day of Eastern after an overtime thriller Wednesday night. Game two, Rangers Hurricanes, and immediately following that game, Oilers Flames game two. They combined 15 goals in game one. How many are they going to score in game two? Can't wait to see. First take over on ESPN2 today, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. What message did the Celtics send with last night's win? And are both Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher out of line? It's First Take, top of the hour on ESPN2. And coming up at the top of the hour on ESPN, Scotty Scheffler right there with a nice tee shot. Live coverage, second round PGA Championship. World's number one on the course right now. Complete coverage of his round coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, so I feel like everybody on set was teasing me about picking the Mavericks, but I got faith. And you know what else I got faith in? Luka, I'm putting it right down now. Luka's going to get 45.
45?
45 in this game. What do you got? How many do you think he's going to get? Legs got him going over 31.5.
35. 45 is a big number now.
45. He's got to get 45.
If he gets 45, then he's not getting those other guys involved.
No, he can get the other guys involved, and they get 120.
The windy effect is in full effect right now.
First Take starts now. See you later.